So we pray, gracious Lord, we welcome your presence, knowing that it is true that you met Paul on the road to Damascus and revealed yourself, that you are Jehovah the old, Jesus of the new, and the prophet said the same one is here, the same one that came to Paul in the pillar of fire to bring the word is here revealing it. We believe that you've manifested yourself to us. We know that it is your presence fully identified. We understand that, Lord, not as we want to understand and believe it, not as we want to believe it, and have this full assurance, not as we want to, but, Lord, as you want us to have, we believe we've come to that place and shall go even further by your will and your directions. Fill us more and more with your Holy Spirit by the word, pile word upon word, until we become truly identified as word members with that great one who is the word. Help us tonight in our studies. We'll give you the glory in Jesus' name. We pray, amen. You may be seated. Now we're up to number 16 on Easter seal, and we're taking a little more time as usual than we really wanted to. And we're up to page 33, but before we begin reading on page 33, we want to repeat some of the things that we've gone over. Number one, Brother Branham used the word Easter interchangeably with resurrection. To the extent every time he said Easter, he was really calling it resurrection, because he was making the point that as all Christians were celebrating Easter, they were consciously or unconsciously setting aside that pagan celebration date in commemoration to the resurrection of Jesus, wherein God not only raised him from the dead, but also brought forth all the Old Testament predestinated ones to that resurrection. So even though it's a pagan festival, a pagan time of commemoration, it is actually now commemorated to the time when Jesus rose from the dead. And, of course, we don't accept anything to do with the commemoration to the pagan rites. We honor that special day, and every Sunday we offer that same day in commemoration to his resurrection. Number two. So number one is a word is used interchangeably. In fact, Easter is resurrection. And, of course, you know why he's doing that is because the people simply aren't catching on to that fact. They're so used to the same paraphernalia that they use at Christmas until Santa Claus is far more important than Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer than either Jesus Christ or the attending angels. So the resurrection is actually what he's speaking of. Number two, he advised us that this is the first half of the resurrection. That's back there, which was prophesied especially by Job and by later prophets. In fact, they all spoke of it. And it was this resurrection 2,000 years ago. It was the antitype of all that had been typed by the quickening power of God in and through the lives of such men as Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Elijah, Elisha, and others. In other words, he is saying that if this same God that was doing all these things back there, manifesting himself in power through the prophets who would declare something that would come to pass or come on the scene and perform some great work, to the people then would know that that is God. And what Brother Branham is saying here, that all of these things were building up to the grand finale or the grand climax, like in the role of a play. And, of course, what you want is the ending. What does this mount to? What is all this acting about? Like the grand finale. So now it was all pointing to the resurrection, and this is it. So therefore, you cannot point to anything else any more than everything pointed to the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. There had to be death and resurrection. So the great thing, although the great thing is the birth, we appreciate that. We also appreciate the death. But if it weren't for the fact of the resurrection, the birth and the death would not be truly consequential. So you see, as you look forward to it, you look back to it. And it's in a threefold, of course, birth, death, and resurrection. You look back, but that's the grand finale, so to speak. And remember, it's the first half. That's the beautiful part. And I don't think you'll find that in very many books of theology. They know it's there, but they don't really say it. And Brother Branham said it. Of course he would. Number three, it was made very clear to us that all these manifestations he found in the Scripture were performed by the Spirit of God, the great quickener himself, and that all of these events, though manifested by and through individuals, especially prophets, was actually the church coming up from Eden, where death started, to the resurrection, where death was conquered, and God himself present took over and brought forth immortality. So what you're looking at, what was interrupted, and I've told you before how I marveled at how Brother Branham said what he did interrupted the plan of God. When I told you how it was when I first heard the word interrupted, I thought, now, he said, Brother Branham is not well educated, and he could be using that word a little wrong. But he, how long did it take him to smarten up and know he knew what he's talking about? The word is 100% correct. It was interrupted. And what was that interruption? What that was done to bring death, to stop this man from immortality. But notice how that God glorifies everything. What started out in corruption, that is corrupting, devil corrupting the word, and putting Adam and Eve under the bondage of death, God not only reverses this, but magnifies it tremendously, so that even though they die, he will raise them. And yet, if he'd have lived and walked on, he could have just walked into immortality. So here's a picture then of the church coming up. And what is Brother Branham saying? When you see these things coming up through Scripture, and you see the Scripture fulfilled, which was prophesied, especially New Testament now, going to the second half, and you see the second half come into view, the church has come up. That's where Paul said. And you know what he said in Ephesians, the fourth chapter here. And this, might as well read it because I'm going to read it anyway. And it says here that the ministry was given by these people, he mentions, watch, verse 15, but holding the truth in love may grow up unto him, not into him now, they're already in him, but grow up unto him in all things which is ahead, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure every part maketh increase of the body and edifying of itself in love. And Romans tells us when the fullness of the Gentiles come in, now not the times now, but the fullness, that's the whole Gentile church, the bride, is brought in, even as Jesus headed that first half of the first resurrection, God having raised them. So now God will raise a New Testament group and take them up with them to the wedding supper. Already, headship is here. See, just like it was back in the days of Paul. Okay, number four. After making so much of the Old Testament illustrations and constantly referring to the genuine resurrection seal of its day, he poses a question. Do you wish you were back in that day because of all we have read that led to the actual resurrection event? He knows that people might think, well, we're just looking at that back. No, there's plenty to look forward to in this hour. Now, we find this on page 33, which he asked that question, 179 paragraph, which we're going to read again and continue. But as we do, start to read it, we must never forget that Brother Branham is not only constantly referring to the second half of the first resurrection, not simply implying its imminence, but categorically stating we are actually in the resurrection itself. Why? Because the one that was here in flesh was standing there and said, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I'll raise him up, and I'll bring all the rest out with me. See? Now you've got to understand what we're talking about. The same one is here. So therefore you are in the resurrection. He said, all right, again now. Never forget that Brother Branham not only constantly referred to the second half of the first resurrection, and he's not simply implying its imminence, but categorically stating we are actually in the resurrection itself, for Christ is again proved risen from the dead, and the great quickener himself is here. And further, since he anointed Jesus with the life of the word of promise for that hour 2,000 years ago, and it was fulfilled, and that he raised the dead, the body is anointed with the same life of the word of promise for this hour. In other words, if he was anointed, like I brought up May's vows to buy her husband, if that was anointed, then what about the bride for this hour? Well, Christ is not anointed to raise from the dead. He already was anointed to that end. Remember the woman that took the alabaster box and anointed him? Well, you can't anoint him over again to raise from the dead. So what is it? It's the body. Come on, didn't the anointing flow over him? Look at the high priest. When they anointed him, how good and how precious it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the ointment, the anointing ointment that flowed over Aaron's head and brought all the, put all the hair, made the hair one mass and the beard one mass. One hair flowed over his whole body. Now the head already was anointed and gone through it. But this body hasn't. But it is anointed at this hour for the resurrection. Because if she's his body, member of his member, and there was even left behind for her, like the Apostle Paul mentioned, and he mentioned especially the apostles, come on, not only the apostles suffer. You read the story of the Fox Book of Martyr, and in the, what is that, the word mirror, it's not, is it Martyr's Mirror, I think it's called, a mirror. Back there in the times of the persecution, great big thick volume, I got it at home. And in there you can see individuals, a woman testifying to Christ, they'd cut her breasts off and rip her the womb open, have to throw the baby to the pigs. They'd take others and put them in a sack of leather with serpents and throw them in the water. Did everything under high heaven. The church, if the church was anointed and left to fill up the sufferings of Christ, it's the same body that rises in glory. Understand what I'm saying? You've got to identify and recognize that the church has come up. See? It's right to headship. And people don't understand. Well, they don't understand. You'll find we come to Toronto, you'll hear some things there. I'm reading verbatim out of books. They really float to you, eh? All right. Since he anointed Jesus with the life of the word of promise for that hour 2,000 years ago, thou not leave my soul in hell, neither thy supper thy hold of my seed corruption, the bride is anointed with the life of the word of promise for this hour. And as Christ and the bride are one, she must come forth in the resurrection and go to the wedding supper. All right, we're going to go back to 179 on page 33. They had that genuine Easter seal. In other words, it's the same definitive spirit. No different. The Spirit that moved upon the face of the deep and said, let there be light, and there was light. Divided the waters from the waters. Put the sun and the moon, the stars in the sky. It's the same one that raised him. Well, you see, I wish I lived back in the Old Testament. Wait a minute. In 1 Thessalonians 3:13, I want to read, I would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning those asleep that you saw not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again the third day, not make-believe now, but we believe it. Even so, them that sleep in him will God bring with him, or bring forth with Jesus. The New Testament saints, with that quickening power, shall resurrect also at his second coming. Just as sure as the Old Testament saints, with all that quickening power upon their bones, translation power, and so forth, showed of God. Those prophets whom the word of God came to, they resurrected him on the resurrection morning, and even those that weren't prophets did. So, all right, Brother Branham here is teaching the presence. And he didn't go to the next verse. He would have read, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with the shout, the message, the commandment, the commands, the putting the church in order. And remember, church order is by the Word. It is nowhere else than by the Word. You go back to the Old Testament. Moses built the church according to the pattern that he saw in the Mount. And the church is built today 100%, as it says right here, upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. And then it says in here, these are men with gifts. Fivefold ministry comes in, and they become actually the voice of the Holy Spirit to the people. And together they go forward. That's what Brother Branham could say. If you stick with your pastor, he's ordained to see you through. But if he's not a true pastor, he's a phony baloney, he'll see you through all right. You'll go through right the gates to the wide open pasture of Satan. Obey them that have the rule. You teach through the Word of God. What word is that? That's got to be the true word. So here we see here, Brother Branham, in paragraph 179, the word of promise is guaranteed and constantly typed, and God is here himself to give us the message of the last hour and to raise the bride from the dead, and when they come forth, he's going to change the living. See? So, and how do we know this? Because the same pillar of fire that came to the Apostle Paul that brought the word, that same apostle knew, the same as Jesus taught, it was down the road. But there were certain earmarks and things that would be evident to let you know that it was time. And the time is now. Because there couldn't be a rapture, there couldn't be resurrection until the opening of the seven seals and the thunders. There's no way. Because it's only in Revelation 22 and 10, when the book is unsealed, that the separation takes place. The filthy are filthy, the righteous righteous, the holy holy. And right down the line, the separation, and you'll find them and coming right to the tree of life. The next one goes to the tree of life. They that wash their robes have the right to the tree of life. Couldn't happen until that time. So who's going to do this? God's going to do it. How's he going to do it? Aha! Everybody is going to second guess just exactly as the Pharisees and say, well, if he doesn't do it this way, then I won't take it. Well, don't take it. Just that simple. The same people, they say, now listen, I'm not going to take an American $100 bill because it's the same color as a $1 bill. Oh, you just give me all the hundreds you don't want, buddy. I don't care about the package. In other words, whatever God wants is what God wants. Just be grateful. Well, you can't get them grateful. The Bible says they weren't thankful. You're not thankful for what God does? What can you do? He can do nothing for you. Now, let's read the 181. We'll start there. It was the promise of God that everyone that is in Jesus Christ will also come with him in his resurrection, the quickening power of God upon the bones. And if there's no bones here, that's all right. He's going to be dust and ashes and gas. It won't matter. And once it's been touched by the Holy Spirit, it's all got to come back together again. Why? Well, you can see the type in every member of Christ coming together. So if every member of Christ is coming together, we're bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. Eyes, well, not eyes particularly, that's the work of a prophet. When you get down, hands, feet, those parts of the body, then when it comes to you and me, if we're full of the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God, bringing together the entire body of Christ, the bride, certainly the same Spirit will bring every one of our atoms and cells back. Sure. You can't have it otherwise. Otherwise, you'd certainly break type, and you can't break type. Now, it was a promise of God way back there. It's a promise of God now, 2,000 years back. Today, the quickening power shall raise up the saints, just the same as the Old Testament bunch were raised up, at his second coming. Now, you notice right in there, I'm looking at the fact of the coming and presence of Jesus literally standing there with that group that comes up because God actually raised them. Now remember, Jesus was dead in that tomb for 3 days. Body didn't corrupt, but he was dead there. The Spirit of God or God himself raised him. Now who's going to do the raising today? God. He's going to bring them forth upon earth and we're all going to ascend to meet at the wedding supper, and there we crown Jesus himself, King of kings and Lord of lords, because he has now been reincarnated by Almighty God himself. So the quickening power is here. The dead will be raised. 182. Now watch. He's drawing a conclusion. And remember, as he draws conclusions, the conclusions are always number one. Look at me and my ministry that's entirely identified by vindication. Then you take it from there in its proper understanding and revelation concerning yourselves. Because no Christian And no church can arrogate to itself what a prophet has not said. As Brother Branham clearly said, you can neither worship or serve God apart from a prophet. And anybody that says different is a liar, and any preacher that says different doesn't believe the Bible. And anybody that doesn't quote even me right isn't going to live to be happy about it. A lot of people don't quote the prophet right. They don't quote me right. They're never going to quote anybody who preached the Bible right. Right. There's no way. Now watch what we're going to read. Now he says, talking about this resurrection that positively happened back there, proof positive it is happening now, he says, no wonder we lay hands on the sick. No wonder we love one another. We're brothers and sisters. We shouldn't hate one another because we're corrected by the Word of God. We should love one another and have respect one for another. You know, if you don't, it won't help you. Now, I tell you, the punctuation here could be wrong. You could put different punctuation in there. Can you tell by the rise and fall of his voice? I don't necessarily know that you can. See? So we shouldn't hate one another, period. Because we're corrected by the Word of God, we should love one another. You got, if any, how many got, anybody got these except me? How many got it? Anybody here got them? Good. Take a look at it. They've written here, we shouldn't hate one another because we're corrected by the Word of God, period. We should love one another and have respect for one another. What if he didn't say that? We're brothers and sisters, period. We shouldn't hate one another, period. You say, well, they got a because there. You can start, you're saying, because we're corrected by the, you can start, because we're corrected by the Word of God, we should love one another and have respect. And that's the way I'm going to read it, because that's the way I can see this. So let's take a look at it. No wonder we lay hands on the sick. Now, Brother Branham categorically said that is a Jewish custom. The Gentiles really don't have to do that. And he wanted the people to believe without hands being laid upon them, and they could receive healing. But if I put this all together, no wonder we lay hands on the sick, no wonder we love one another, we're brothers and sisters, therefore we shouldn't hate one another. Because we're corrected by the Word of God, we should love one another and respect one for another. You know, if you don't, it won't help you. So I'm looking in here, is the family touch and the family connection, as the mother or father, but particularly the mother, lays her hand upon the brow of a child to soothe it, and we know what that touch of affection does. It literally causes a response. And so he's speaking here now of the proper laying on of hands. And the proper laying on of hands is because it is done in love and is not simply a function laid down in the church. Although it's good. No problem if you do it. But you do it because there's compassion. And Brother Branham had such compassion for the sick that when he first started in 1946, he drained himself to the extent he had a nervous breakdown. Even clutching a pillow, praying for it. A child with crossed eyes evoked such sympathy because his own little daughter died in such pain with her eyes crossed. He wept bitterly every time he saw one. He was impelled, literally compelled. He couldn't stop himself from wanting to pray and see that child helped. So he's talking about a compassion. And compassion is doing the will of God, is what he said. And this is the will of God. So therefore he's saying here, now listen, at the time of the resurrection and the appearance of the great resurrector himself, we positively can lay hands upon the sick, and it's something different from what has been going on and is going on. Because it is amongst us. He's not talking to the world now as much. Now he says, no wonder we love one another. Now, no wonder we love one another. To me, it would be better really if he put, we love one another first, and then put the hands. But he's talking, I believe, concerning himself. That his praying for the sick was not simply a commission of a gift to go to the world, but he loved the people. And he never refrained from praying for the sick. So now he starts off this with vindication. The vindication is his great and tremendous ministry of discerning and miracles and all those things. And then he brings in the wonder we love one another. We're brothers and sisters. Now, how in the world do you know? How do you know? Now, he said we shouldn't hate one another. Period. Because we're corrected by the Word of God, we should love one another and have respect one for another. Or, you know, it won't help you. Now, let's go back to 1 John and see exactly what this man is talking about. And we've gone over this time after time after time. Verse 8, he that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sins from the beginning. Now remember, sin is unbelief, and all the things that we do are attributes. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. So what is the work of the devil? To sow unbelief. What did he do in the Garden of Eden? Sowed unbelief. How did he do it? He added a word. He literally took away and added. Changed the whole meaning around. Now, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. In other words, he does not perpetrate an act of unbelief. When the prophet comes on the scene, he said, this man knows what he's talking about. You cannot worship and serve God outside of a prophet. This is how the book was written. And if a prophet comes on the scene, he'll know what's written. Hallelujah, I listen to that man. That's all for me. Now, if I don't understand, it's still perfectly good. He's right, I'm wrong. Ho, ho, ho. Where do you see attitudes like that? Come on. In denominations? No way. Wait till Friday night. Come up and hear it. I'm going to tell you. Why should I? Spill the beans, have to preach the same thing. Listen. Whosoever is born of God, whosoever is a child of God, doth not give way to unbelief. This is doctrinal. This is the passive. For his seed remaineth in him. Remaineth in him. He was born that way. And he can't lose it. If you had representation, then you got it now. And Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and I don't lose one of them. I lay down my life for them. My Father's greater than all of them. And he said, no man can pluck them out of my Father's hand, because that's where they are. So he's telling you here. And he cannot sin. He cannot perpetrate an act of unbelief that isn't in him. He's a believer in what? The Word of the living God. Because he is born of God. Now notice, seed and birth and cannot sin. What does it mean to be born? You're not, well, you're begotten by your father, but you're born through your mother. Takes the two of them. So therefore, when you're born of God, something had to come out of God. So, all right. And that's the seed. And the proof of being a seed is you will not commit this unbelief. Now, in this, the children of God are made manifest. They're proven to be children of God. Oh, I speak in tongues, Brother Vail. I'm manifested. I want to tell you, hallelujah. I just got down and I grumbled, and one woman, she said she snorted, and that was God. Well, I don't know, her language wasn't to God. I could say some pretty brutal things right now, but I'm gonna. Here's what it says. Do you believe what it says? Herein you show you're a child of God. Come on. For the first time, can you all say amen? Thank you. See, I don't ask for amens because it bugs me when people talk. I want to do the talking. That's all I can do. Because I'm paid for it. This is my ministry. It says, in this, the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God. Now it says, neither he that loveth not his brother. Now we're talking about what Brother Branham said in the paragraph 182, so we're referring to the Scripture. Now watch. For this is the message you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Now this is the socialization. This is the fraternization. This is the attitude. This is what I try to invoke in this congregation. For somebody, for God's sake, to chuck under the chin, to pat you on the back, to lift you, to hold you. I don't mean to be rough. I'm hoping before I die, or leave for some place, that I'll see a people here with such love toward each other. I don't care if you sin. You will sin. What are you? A bunch of goody-goodies? Oh, don't give me that. Not for 15 seconds. I know you like I know the palm of my hand. Like I know myself. But there's nothing wrong with somebody trying to be nice. Even if it's just superficial, at least you create an atmosphere. Yes. Understand what I'm saying here. This is the atmosphere we're talking about, based upon the vindication. And what's the vindication amongst those people that are the true seed of God? They know that you cannot worship and serve God except through a prophet. And they know that the prophet said you cannot love God and serve God except through loving His people and serving His people. I may sound like I'm terribly mad and disappointed. I'm not. Look, just bear with me. I'm old and crotchety, and if it's 77, you haven't got the right to be grouchy and oompity and what have you, and you not be despised. Well, he's old, you know, you got to humor me. So humor me. And then Paul said, bear with me. Now listen, we're reading. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one. Now the manifestation between the two is not what they did at that point. But one believed God, the other didn't. Not didn't believe in God. Even jackasses believe in God. In fact, a true jackass out there, he believes in God more than the jackasses that are spiritual, so to speak. And the jackass is a hybrid. All right, the manifestation. Cain was not of God. What did he do? He rose right up against the man that had the word and said, look, bud, I don't care if there's any kind of proof under high heaven, you're vindicated. I'll get you. Now let's go a little further. If Abel would have said, well, Cain, let me tell you something. I believe you're right. Now just forget the sacrifice. I'll ask you a question. Could he do it? No. Could Cain stop killing him? No. So, Brother Bill, I'm going to prove it to you. If Cain is of the devil, get this flat. After the white throne, after the second resurrection, Satan and his gang, all resurrected, come against the holy encampment, and they say, let's get them, let's get them, let's get God. Well, you believe me or don't you believe me? What's the truth? Some stupid little sermon? Years ago, I told my wife, I'm going to go back to the United Church. I've got to preach, I'll preach. I'll have those Pentecosts or anybody else drop dead. I'll be a nice guy. You think I couldn't? You're looking at a guy that loved old women, not because they gave me cookies. I loved them. I'd pick flowers for them. I'd go to the meadow as a child and wonder about God. Yeah, hard boiled, yeah. You get that way. You're not born that way necessarily. I'll go back and I'll be polished. You think I couldn't be polished? Come on. I spoke such fluent, perfect English, I'd get 100%. Don't kid me, I could write blank verse or anything else. I was told by my teacher, son, you can write 100% in your tests. I could be polished and suave. If you don't believe it, ask my wife. She'll tell you. She lies just like I do. I just threw it in to relax you. No, it's the truth. Why am I preaching tonight the way I'm doing? I can't
be that kind of a person.
If I bother Bill, I think it wouldn't hurt you to be a little more polished.
It's your business.
Why don't you go someplace else?
It won't hurt my feelings any.
I'm not the keeper of your soul. The minute I preach the full word of God, I'm free from your blood, brother, sister, everyone.
You say, you're grinning about it. No, I'm just being sarcastic. I'm trying to make my point.
When the whole counsel of God has declared there isn't one person's blood on my hands or anybody else's, no wonder we lay hands on the sick. No wonder we love one another. We're brothers and sisters. Listen. Wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. As this one, two men worship God and one man was unrighteous and what he did was evil. Now, Brother Branham says everybody comes to church not to be worse but to be better. But my brother Paul said, he said, when you come to church you can even worse shape than when you came. What's worse shape when you sit here and don't believe that you go away smug with your own ideas? You're going to try to make a Pentecost and make the rapture, and Brother Branham said they won't do it. Well, hallelujah, Brother Bill, I got the word. Give me one, thus saith the Lord. You know one thing about the word. I still got my hangnails. Come up here and heal them. Fap. You know something? We ought to praise God day and night with screams unto him. For his mercy, he ever allowed us to sit under a prophet. Amen. To hear his tapes, to read his books. Yeah. They're evil. Then he said, marvel not, my brethren of the world hate you. And Cain hated what was supposed to be his brother. So Cain is of the world, and the whole world lies in the lap of the wicked one. And that serpent seed. And they are absolutely make believers or unbelievers, the two kinds. Just the same as the believers are wise and foolish virgins. Sure. Now he says right here, no wonder we love one another. And I say we lay hands on because we love each other. We're brothers and sisters. We're part of the resurrection, part of the body. The great our Father is here. We shouldn't hate one another. No. Because we're corrected by the word, we should love one another and respect one for another. You know, if you don't, it won't help you. Now listen to me. I've told you all along when I preached the whole series on love. I'm going to talk about that up here in another type of some more love up in Toronto. Want to come along here? That's part of Friday night. It's going to be called popery. Different things are going to bring to your attention. Some are mind-boggling. Some just plain sense in the Word. Now listen, we're reading this here. And I said I preached a whole series on love, and I still wasn't satisfied. Until I remember Brother Branham said, the conduit of the Holy Spirit is the Word. And the Bible says the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Word. So therefore you cannot have the love of God outside of having His Word in your heart. And that Word must be the truly revealed Word of God. So you worship in spirit and in truth. Who I talk in tongues? I have talked in tongues so many times in my life, and I don't mind if I talk in tongues again. But you can do it without the Holy Ghost. Devils can talk in tongues. Now, devils cannot heal the sick, but they can be anointed like Judas was. We'll talk about that too. Friday night may be a 2-hour message. I don't know. I know it's going to be. I don't know. But it'll be the last kind of that type, as far as I'm concerned, because I'm getting out of here by the grace of God somehow or some way. I believe. I hope anyway. I can't believe. I don't know. Now, you see, because we're corrected by the Word of God and have the correct Word, therefore there is no place in us to have hate. Now, you can make mistakes. Mistakes are sins, let's face it. But you can repent. So what I'm trying to say here is what Brother Branham said, piling word upon word will bring you to that state of perfection where God has entire control of your life. And there won't be the hating.
Now, a lot of times we're just nervous and irritable with each other. I never get really mad at my wife. I get irritated because of the way things are. She's different nationality. In fact, her own Nazarene preacher told her, don't marry that guy because, hey, you're different nationalities and you never make it. Well, he's the liar. We made it. We make it real good. But she got a Norwegian background where her reflexes aren't like mine. I mean, my reflexes are like dynamite. You know, they are. I got tremendously fast. We've run anymore. I've always had them. So I don't get mad at her. I get mad at conditions at times. Then I tell her, well, I shouldn't even get mad at conditions. But she's already ready to get mad at me for my condition, too. It's a free country. See? But I'm going to tell you, love in Christ doesn't over just look that. It puts the brakes on. Because the Word teaches us to be kind, respectful, to put the brakes on for each other. Now it says here, then, because we're corrected by the Word of God, we should love one another and have respect one for another. Many marriages don't have respect. And if there isn't respect, there isn't love. Brother Branham hooked the two together. Actually, respect is a basic. Now it says, you know if you don't, it won't help you. Now what is he talking about here? He said if these things are missing, like the Apostle Peter said. He said, if these things be in you, he said, you know that you have a portion down the road. As the angel of God, the message came forth. Because you have done this, you have a great portion waiting you. The man was sold out to the will of God. So what we're looking at here then at this time of the Exodus, we are the children of the resurrection, and we have this not as a threat, but remember, every correction must be a promise. Because Brother Branham said what God commanded, then he must make a way for it. When he said, be ye therefore perfect, he said, God, that's Matthew 5:48. He said, God must make a way for it, and he did by the blood of Jesus Christ. And he said, how can you call a saint a sinner when the blood of Jesus Christ scatters sin until there be no evidence of it? Now he's made a way to bring the flesh under control by the Holy Ghost. The Easter seal. We're going to read it. We're going to go to Luke. I hope you understand what I'm saying so far. I never get finished preaching. I get nervous pretty soon, taking all this time. Luke 20. And I think it's verse 27. I hope it is anyway. Then came to him certain Sadducees would deny there is any resurrection. They asked him, Master, Moses wrote unto us a man, a brother die, having a wife, and he died without children. His brother should take his wife and raise up seed unto his brother. There were seven brethren. They took the first wife, died without a child. Second took her, third and fourth, and right down the line. And nobody had children by her. Then the woman died. Therefore, in the resurrection, whose wife is she? Of them is she? For seven had her to be the wife. And Jesus answered them, the children of this world marry and are given in marriage. But they which shall be accounted worthy to obtain that world and the resurrection from the dead, neither marry nor are given in marriage, neither can they die anymore, for they're equal unto the angels, and are the children of God, being children of the resurrection. Now, then what was the thing that God had in mind when he had you as his baby? The resurrection. Everything I preached for the last years here, I've taken one sentence to show you. Omega. Children of the resurrection. In other words, the body is anointed to the resurrection. Therefore, the body, today, the whole bride of Christ, which is now in the resurrection, in the presence of her Creator, her Maker, her resurrection, she is saying through the mouth of William Branham, the prophet, no wonder we love one another. Because we are children of the resurrection in the resurrection. And you cannot be a manifested child of the resurrection unless you are in the resurrection. How can I ride a horse if I haven't got a horse to ride? Right? How can I be in a resurrection and a child of it? It's not going on. Well, you say, potential. This is not potential. Not any longer. The bride's anointed. Brother Ben said the bride is anointed. The body's anointed to it. Yeah. The seed's been sown. God's word said, when I send my word shall not return unto me void, but will accomplish to the end whereunto I have sent it. Why has he come down? To have a resurrection. How is he going to have it? The very steps the prophet outlined for us. Now, he said, if you don't, it won't help you. In other words, he said, you just take all these things here and you figure you've got them. And you turn down the word of the hour, the truth of the hour. He said, you're just anointed. Not going to help you a bit. In vain do you worship me, having for commandments the traditions of men. It isn't he said you won't worship me. He said you'll do it, but it won't do you any good. Go to church. You'll be maybe worse shape than you left. You know, you can leave here in worse shape. Actually, people leave here in far worse shape most time when they come in first time at all. They walk right up. They don't know what I'm saying, but they'll tell somebody else what I'm saying. They haven't got a clue. Like this stupid woman said, Brother Branham believed in birth control because he said the baby's not alive. It's jerking muscles and nerves until the life comes in. But she didn't know he told a Mormon guy whose wife, baby died just before he was born. Stillborn. And he said, you'll see it in heaven. He didn't tell the Mormon he'd be there. He said, you'll see it. Yeah. Oh, they got all the answers. I know one thing. I know it all. Oh, brother. I don't want to show my contempt, but the point is this. Hey, just because they're sucked in doesn't mean I have to be. Just because they blaspheme doesn't mean I have to. Because they're ridiculous toward the things of God doesn't mean I got to succumb. We're separated, brother, sister. See? It won't help, he said. Vindication merely points you to the right thing. To recognize in this hour what is going on? Actually, is to recognize yourself. In Matthew 16:1-4, then the Pharisees also, the Sadducees, came and tempting, desired him he should show them a sign from heaven. He answered and said to them, when it is evening, you see how the weather will be fair, the sky is red, the morning will be foul weather because the sky is red and lowering. Oh, you hypocrites! You can discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the sign of the times. Now, we're going to enter a judge of generation seeks after a sign. There'll be no sign given it, except the sign of the prophet Jonas. And he left them and departed. What is he saying here? He's saying that you can know if you're a child of the resurrection or not. So, Brother Bill, I don't think you read that right. Well, I know you didn't think that, but I made you think that. Because I want to read it again. The Pharisees also came with the Sadducees, and tempting desired that he show them a sign from heaven. Now, who are the Sadducees? They don't believe in a resurrection. And the Pharisees do, but they didn't. He answered and said, when it's evening, you'll say the weather's fair, and so on, so on, and so on. You adulterous generation, now watch, no sign given it but the sign of the resurrection. Now, what is the sign of the resurrection? Brother Branham said it's prophesied of him for the Gentiles. That he will do in the Holy Spirit what he did back there in the days of the Gentiles. And there's some more news for you on Sunday morning. I'm not advertising to get you there. I'm just saying that. Because some of you know, you just... Well, I'm like, God, you know what I mean. I hope your attitude's not that well, you know. Hey, I'm not going to just go up there and talk for the sake of talking. Because that's not the point. I just tell them to feel a whole lot better. You know, I'm even taking cortisone right now to make sure I feel good enough. And I don't like drugs. If it makes me feel good for the sake of the ministry, I'll take a barrel of it. On the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if he honors it, fine. If he doesn't honor it, that's his business. After all, he made all the moves so far. I should make a few moves myself. All righty, here's the point. In these people here, there were those who were able to discern, and they wouldn't. You know why? Because Jesus gave his own signs and they wanted their own sign. Like the Church of Christ. Well, what we meant, Reverend Branham, is we'd cut the girl and then you'd heal her. That was greater than the girl being healed by a profound miracle that shook the town. Because the Church of Christ was going to tell them what to do. Let me tell you, William Branham preached in William Branham Tabernacle, but William Branham Tabernacle doesn't tell God any more than Grace Gospel Church tells God. You bet. Don't worry, there's some good people there as well as rascals standing there, and the good people got it, and the rascals turned it down. See, all right. Now, 183, there's a little fellow sitting right here under this church now. Now, Brother Branham is going to illustrate respect and love and the laying on of hands. Now, watch what happens. A few days ago, that little man, little old boy, had a cancer on his ear. He wouldn't say anything about it. He's working up there at the house, at Brother Branham's. I'd been hunting on a hunting trip with him up there with the Mosey brothers and Brother Dawson. We were up hunting, and Brother William's son, that's Earl, I happened to look over on his ear. That's this boy you're talking about. I saw his ear all swollen up, and I said, "What's the matter, Donovan, that ear?" And he said, "Brother Branham, it's been there a long time. I don't know." I just caught him by the hand. There was a big cancer on his ear. Never said one word, just held it. It was off my brother. In a day or two, there wasn't a scar even left of it. It was his respect and the God of heaven. By his quickening power that killed that cancer. And spared the life of Donovan Wirtz back there. That's right. Remember Brother Branham said on in Florida, when I was there and had him for a meeting, he came to me. And it's on a tape. If you only knew who I am, you'd all be healed. Respect. Proof of the resurrection. What are these things? Look here, people in Phoenix. Look at the people that have believed this. Look at the people who have this, that lay their hands upon you. Now, he's bringing in here positively all the false anointed, Oral Roberts and Ticks and the whole bunch of them. Because they're Trinitarians. Believing in three gods and praying in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is one God. The great revelation this hour, there is one God, and you baptize in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, he's talking to them, and he's also talking at the same time to those who are positively true believers. You say, why? Because that's what the crowd is. They're mixed. And remember, William Branham's great ministry that God gave him is found in Acts chapter 3. The quickening by the presence of God, which he said was a healing revival that had started under him and had never stopped. Now, with this in mind, what are these things? Look here, people in Phoenix. Look at the people that have believed this. Look at the people that have this, that lay their hands upon you. Watch what happened. It's quickening power. These signs shall follow them that believe. If they lay hands on the sick. The quickening power, now watch, he swings it to people like Donovan Wirtz. The majority of people were not like Donovan. Although at the end time it filtered down to where only those that believed Brother Branham wanted to be around him. Because all he had left seemingly was discernment, which they didn't care for. Who needed it? Give him a jolt of power, let's get healed. And the doctor, ha, forget it. Let's all love Jesus. Which Jesus? They had a false Jesus back in the time of Paul. How many more have they got now? Who knows? I don't know. That quickening power, eagle to eagle, something is going to take place. Now, Brother Branham is talking about what? Himself. So, eagle to eagle. He's letting you know that the promises of God, especially healing, are the children's bread. Though anybody can have it. And it comes as a witness against them in that day.
The same as those that said, have we not prophesied in thy name and cast out devils and done wonderful works? He said, I never ever knew you. It becomes a testimony against them. How many people were healed in Brother Branham? Thursday night I'll likely talk a lot about my relationship to Brother Branham. The Lord helps me. I'll bring up a lot of things to tell you. What happened in meetings. Where the meetings were truly of God. Where men prepared their hearts and all. And you saw the response. And where those who didn't, you saw the strangest things. Now, we're reading further. Sweet Spirit of Christ amongst the people. 185. Not an eagle to a buzzard won't work. Now, is he talking about simple healing? Why, he said a while ago, why, he said a prostitute come in and get healed while a dear saint of God doesn't even get touched. Because she'll bleed just like that. But that dear old saint is has seen so many healings and heard so much, she's sort of befuddled, or he's befuddled. The more signs that you see, actually, the less you're apt to believe. Why? You know why? Because if it isn't applied in the right way, it becomes too common. Becomes just something passing around, like the movement of air under fans or something. But he said, an eagle to a buzzard won't work. Like he prayed for Donovan. Eagle to eagle rises from the barnyard to the heavenlies. Now he's going back to the Word. Because the eagle scream calls the little eagles, the great screamer, the great God, the great eagle, in the form of the Holy Spirit, coming through the Word, screams, and the little baby eaglets, little chicks, whatever they are, they're not chickens, but little, what the eaglets are called, baby eaglets, they hear, and right away they want to rise. In other words, right away they recognize resurrection. You see, real child of God, they know there's a resurrection. You know, absolutely. They rise from the barnyard to the heavenlies. What is he talking about? The food. No more food that comes in the manure pile. No more the chickens eating oats out of horse droppings or the wheat out of cow droppings. That's the same as vomit. Because vomit is partly digested food, and so is the whole grain that comes out in the stool is also partly digested. So no matter how it's presented, all tables are full of vomit. The eagle isn't interested. What is partly digested food? It is the Word of God over the ages that has been taken and the life has gone out of it. It's no longer fit for consumption. It has passed away because it's been fulfilled. I know people don't want to believe that. But I want to ask you one question. Has the second half of the first resurrection been fulfilled? No, it hasn't been. So then it hasn't been. And when it's been, will it be fulfilled again? No. The life is out of it. Let's take a look at the life of Jesus upon Calvary. It'll never, never be fulfilled again because the life is out of it. Yes, the life is out of it. It went where? To you and me. You can't have cross crucifixion again. We'll talk to some of that too. Coming up. Just pray the Lord to quicken the day for 28 hours, that's all. Bring your lunch. Look at here. These signs follow in belief when they're both in belief. As Brother Branham said, the sweet Spirit of Christ in the church and all be healed. I believe the sweet Spirit of Christ is here tonight. What's wrong with us? We just don't believe the rest of it. We don't make it a full application of word upon word. We're still looking too much to personalities and our differences rather than the Word to heal us. We're bringing everybody and everything for everything going on. We're soon going to have complexes and everything else here before it's over if you don't watch our step. I'm telling you the truth. Instead of word to word, don't muff it. That's why I said, listen, you leave me alone in this pulpit and don't get in my way. I'll answer to God for my ministry if I've got one. And you know something?
what I'm preaching, I'm believing that if he doesn't do it, it isn't going to be done. And if he doesn't do it by the life in this word, I haven't got a prayer. And if it's not by grace, it isn't going to be by disgrace. If it's not through revelation, the last hour where that life flows, then I'm finished. You say, what if you got the wrong one? I've just done my best, that's all. My best is no good anyway. I can pit my worst against his worst, and he ain't gotten the worst. His is just the best. Brother Brown said he looks at this and he sees Tresili. He said he sees Christ. There's many things we could say, but I get the picture here, see? Now, see that same quickening power of God represented in these two prophets, Elijah and Elisha. Notice the same word. One of them is ketchup, and the other one is caught up. Now, ketchup and caught up, two different things. He was caught up with him. Ketchup, what does that mean? Come abreast. They without us cannot be made perfect. This is what I see in this verse, what he's saying here. In other words, there's already been a first resurrection, and we're going to catch up to it. As they were caught up, we'll catch up to it. Hey, it's all one big wedding supper as far as I know. I don't know if there's two wedding suppers. I know there's a great to-do in heaven according to Psalms. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. For the Lord of glory is coming with his first part of his bride. Hey, here's the first bunch in. And they just can't wait for the second bunch to come in. And those that are there now are anxious to get down here and be with us when we're changed. Then we all go up. See? Meet them in the air, being caught up. That's together with them, the Bible says, in the air. Notice, a bird has to have two wings to balance itself. Isn't that right? That's a fact. Elijah was a translated wing. Elisha was a resurrection wing. See both of them representing the saints that are living and the saints that are gone. Of course, on Mount Transfiguration with Moses and Elijah. Remember, quickened to see past the curtains. How these people were quickened back there to look past the curtain and see down in this time. In other words, some look 2,000 years down, some look 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 years down longer. And they saw all this coming down and they glorified God, and then they saw these others coming. And they glorified God all the more. Those prophets, look at Paul. He said in the last days how these people would be acting and calling themselves Christians. He was a prophet, full of the quickening power. He foresaw it to come to pass. Now, Brother Branham is once more talking about himself. Don't worry. When he talks about Paul, and Paul said, now, I'll show you a mystery. Behold, we shall not all sleep, will all be changed, won't change, the last trump shall, right down the line. For this trouble must put in corruption and immortality. So when that's brought to pass, this swallowing victory, O grave, where is thy sting? O death, where is thy victory? O death, where is thy sting? Right down the line, the strength of sin is the law. But there's no law against you under grace. Paul saw it. He saw himself in the resurrection. Saw it all. And Brother Branham is here. And he said the same pillar of fire that brought the word is here revealing it. And he laid down conditions of the rapture when he said it in Shreveport, Louisiana, on the last Sunday of the 1965 Thanksgiving series. He announced that he would be preaching the conditions of the rapture, and when he got to Yuma, he called it the rapture, but you'll notice it's the conditions of the rapture. Of course, everybody wants to say, well, hallelujah, you know, Jesus doesn't need Elijah and all that stuff for the Jews. I can tell you this fact. There's no man living, unless he searches the Scripture, can tell me why Jesus needed John the Baptist. Just go look it up. You can't. Because the Bible said that John the Baptist shall go before the Lord God of Israel. And the Lord God of Israel didn't need John the Baptist. Oh, yes, he did. Because the Lord of glory, his name, and his great omniscience, backed up by omnipotence, was at stake. Because that was the perfection of God's own essentiality and his wisdom. Well, I don't know if I could take it. The Bible said you won't. the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. So now how are you going to have manifestation? You're a child of the resurrection and turn down the prophet and the vindicated word because he's talking about himself. He was a prophet full of the quickening power. He foresaw it come to pass. And you'll notice in here, I won't get this far tonight, but Brother Branham will ask you a question again. When did I ever tell you wrong? When did it not come to pass? Well, you know. Yeah, you know. What kind of an answer is that? But that's where they go. Well, don't. Come on, you know better than that. You know they go that way. We believe that, don't we? I hope everybody did. Paul received quickening power. The same pillar of fire that brought the word is here revealing it. There it is right there. Can you really believe that? Don't feel too bad. Don't feel too bad. The hour of his resurrection. They were so happy to think they were believing. And the strange story is they've said he's risen from the dead. The tomb is empty. And now the strange story is that he's risen from the dead. He said, ain't that? No, he said, oh, fools and slow of heart to believe the prophets. Never mind the fact that I am risen. You follow me? Never mind the fact that I am risen. You are reflecting upon the integrity of God when he sent vindicated prophets to tell you this would happen. So you're turning me down. You've turned the word down. When you turn the word down, I'm nowhere near around. I can prove it. You want me to prove it? Oh, come on. I've proved this many times. This is chicken play, children play, duck soup. Look at the third chapter of John. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but everlasting life. For God sent not his Son to the world to condemn the world, but through the world, that the world through him might be saved. Now listen, he sent not his Son to condemn, that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Now watch, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now what hasn't he believed that condemns him? And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. Right back to Cain and Abel. What were you standing? I know I preached stuff, but you should be feeling so good about now, and everything I say just roll off your back. Say, Brother Bill, that's right, that's the word, hallelujah. What you say is true, but I believe, glory to God. I like the guy, Brother Bill, we believe. That's to hurt you believing something else. See, that's why I don't like a lot of emotion, a lot of yelling and things, because you block it out. What's in your heart tonight? What is really there? Can you follow me and understand? I understand where the calluses are. Look, I've got them myself. I know where the hives are and the shingles and the bruises. Look, I've got them myself. But I want to tell you, my eye doctor, and he's a good one, he cannot tell why I can see so good because I've got macular degeneracy. I should not have sight worth a plug nickel here. And he stands back and he laughs. He just looks at me and he grins. And he says, I can't figure why your eyesight is so good. And I could say, well, I think maybe because I'm an eagle. Tried, he can't figure it. It's getting better. Why not? I believe it's true. Better sight all the time, but I feel trust inward anyway. He said, here he said, don't we? He received quickening power. Now, 190. Look at the quickening power today. Ho, ho! Listen. These people look past the curtain of time. These people foretold. These people discerned. Look at the quickening power today, foretelling things without missing one, without one event missing. Not one time does it fail. Now listen, what did Brother Branham talk about when he said, not one time does it fail? We're over here in the book of Hebrews. And it's the fourth chapter, and it's the 12th verse. For the word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even dividing asunder of soul and spirit, even the joints and marrow, even as the discerner of the thoughts and intents of heart. Neither is any creature that is not manifest in sight. You couldn't hide if you tried.
But all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. How do you know? Except he sends somebody. Now watch, listen. He's talking about them not entering into rest at the time of Moses. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. When Moses stood there vindicated and said, yeah, we can't do it. Now, the same man rises up here, William Branham, prophet of God. And it says here, this is the hour you enter into your rest when the word of God is so quick and powerful. Coming a two-edged sword, piercing, dividing asunder soul and spirit, joint and marrow, discerning the thoughts and intents of the heart. Enter into rest. What? This is it. You say, well, I'm not going to go take the land. Why, it can't be now. It can't be this. Prophet said so. A child of the resurrection deny it? Hey, man, look, I got this cheap Casio watch. It's a good one, too. Actually, it's better than the most expensive watches I've ever had. In fact, the guy gave me a real expensive watch, and it wasn't worth a plug nickel. Another guy gave me a less expensive watch, it wasn't worth a plug nickel. That's about 19 bucks, if it's that. Good watch. Now, am I going to say, hey, I'm not wearing... Oh, boy, it's 20 to... What time is it? Yeah, it's getting on there, isn't it? It's 8:40. I'm wearing this Casio. I'm not going to say, hey, this Casio watch is not a Casio watch. It doesn't say 2040, the 29th day and 49, 50 seconds past the 40 minutes. That's what it says. What about this man here with his ministry, to turn hearts? Yeah, what about it? You say, well, you know. Well, you don't know. That's Babel. Fulfilled. That's the oath. Not the promise. That's the oath. That's the swearing when God swore by himself. That's right. He never fails. Look at the quickening power today, foretelling things without one bit missing. Say, well, Brother Neil, what kind of quickening power is that, Brother Branham? He told you it was. Same Holy Ghost that raised the dead. The same God that raised Jesus is here. And Brother Branham said this was the last sign the church would see. Discernment. Sarah in the tent. Abraham outside the tent. God's back to Sarah. And remember, in 1965 in Jeffersonville, William Branham stood on the platform, and there was a crowd behind him and a crowd in front of him, and he deliberately turned his back on somebody and discerned perfectly. Of course, he went, oh, look at that guy imitating Jesus. Look at that guy imitating God. Who does he think he is? Because that's such a wonderful person. If I called you by the name of a disease, and I think you know what disease I'm thinking of, that would be a compliment to have that kind of a spirit. If you can't guess it, it's AIDS. And how do you get AIDS? By adultery. And what is adultery? It's idolatry in the Word of God. Oh, I know people don't like my preaching. I'm too tough. You can go if you want. It doesn't matter to me. I'm not trying to send anybody away, but look, I'm never going to change my style. Because listen, if you don't hit them with a 4x4 today, they get nothing. And then you don't necessarily. Your brother Branham said, I hold the nose and squeeze the minister down their throat and they spit up in my face. Not you people, but understand what's going on. Not missing one event. Not one time does it fail. Quickening power. Not the power of man. The power of God. The power. Now listen. The abstract of Easter. The documentation manifested. There is nothing against your title. You know, really, we should be screaming and running around this building. I admit it. I preach too hard to let my heart go as I ought to. I admit it. I don't lie to you. What's the use? It's all on the record anyway. Very couple next half a second we'll be up there. And 24 hours later at the White Throne. So, what's the big deal? No, he's lying. But Brother Branham knew better than he could explain it, so maybe God will forgive me. It's power of the resurrection. The abstract of Easter. He said, this is the proof that there is a genuine Easter, a genuine resurrection, not some myth, not some goddess, not some rabbit, not some eggs, not some formula, but God on the scene to resurrect. That's what he's telling you here. And the abstract is here. Brother Brown explained that in the seals, the book that came down. He said, what is an abstract? That's not in the Bible. Neither is deed. Testament is. Same thing. What's the abstract? The abstract is exactly what I told you people. Jesus Christ was the only testator, the only man that died leaving a will, that rose again to come back and see that his heirs got what he promised them, what he ended up on. God is here. God is here. The resurrected Jesus has sent the abstract, back the abstract, to guarantee us that we're already quickened with him. This is the proof of the end time. Remember written in the book of the businessmen here? What time we got? Hodge? That's Borden went past the time. Tomorrow morning we'll read where Brother Branham talks about the curtain of time, and that's all we need to talk about. All right, let's bow our heads in a prayer before we change order of the service. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you again for your goodness and mercy to us, Lord. When you helped us in the message that the prophet gave, and we're not unhappy that you slow us down to take a lot of time with these things, because, but Lord, we're very unhappy with ourselves in the sense that we don't really keep them to our heart and keep them always before us like the burning coals upon the altar, feeding always the lamp so the light doesn't go out. Now, Lord, you promised in the last day for the church, the bruised reed you wouldn't break and the smoking flax you wouldn't quench. Now, if that's for the church, that's for me as an individual and the people sitting here that claim your presence and claim, Lord, to be a part of this message. That is for us tonight. We claim it. We therefore also claim, O God, as never before, that the Spirit given to us not only teach us all things, but bring all things to our remembrance, Lord. And not just that, would say it, a special time, Lord, because every minute is now a special time. For your own prophet warned us that we could be taken up so much with the Word, outside of the Word and not with the Word, that we could actually find ourselves in a position we don't want to be in. I think that was hinted at least. But he's fearful, Lord, that the bride would have this experience, which I think he also mentioned to one of his friends, would like wandering in the wilderness. And I know that that's what he said or not. That would be a pretty good example, a pretty good illustration. And Lord, we would ask you to hold us from this. And if this is not the time yet for the complete opening of the eyes and the resurrection, as was with those on the road to Emmaus, Lord, may it soon come. May it soon come, Lord. And yet, Lord, I don't know what we're going to say. Because we know that your presence was manifested the days of the Son of Man, then the prophet left, and we haven't seen that since he left, which was the last sign. So, Lord, should we really be on our way, except this be an hour of such utter darkness and blackness, and yet, Lord, you're bigger than all. So here we are looking tonight, Father, and pleading with you that you would actually illuminate our minds and our hearts to such an extent that we can sit down here and stand up here, do we want, and be children of the resurrection. Call all these things out of our heart, O God, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Give glory to thyself, O God, for thou art worthy. And Lord, we would, in our same moments, and we trust this is one of them, to honestly, sincerely, and reverently, I mean it, Lord, honestly give thee glory with all of our hearts, minds, and bodies, as Paul said. Absolutely, Lord. Which is a reasonable sacrifice to give ourselves to you, knowing therein and doing it that perfect will of God. Growing up, as Brother Branham said. Father, these things are in there. And I don't believe it's enough just to long for them, having seen them. As so truthfully, even the songwriter talks about Beulah Land, longing for it. But Lord, we're at the place where we should know we're a part of it. Joshua and Caleb did. And no doubt those under 20, all the rest died off, those under 20. They were just girding up their garments and pulling up their pant legs to go across Jordan any place else you wanted to go. They're ready to go.
We know a few want to stay on the other side. That's all right. We're not interested here, though, Lord. We want to go on to the, we want to go opposite. We want to go in. So that what means tonight, I don't know, except just praying, Lord, that that word somehow begins to just circumcise the heart and mind of unbelief and rip out every root of ignorance. Anything that is minutely off the word. Until, Lord, we come to your mind. Not like the prophet, but according to what you brought the prophet within our own dimension. That's all we ask. Healing in these things, Father, we thank you for. We know they're minor. Can we ask for them too? That spirit tonight, Lord, by us putting aside every spirit of envy, jealousy, evil imaginations, anything at all, Lord, to get it out of our hearts. So we stand with the word and make that the full criterion of everything. Forgive us for our predisposition, Lord, for all the things we get into. We realize, Lord, that as long as we live, we have problems. We're not too concerned about them, though we hate them. Our big concern, Lord, is for this word and the life in the word to so fill us that those other things simply die off and they're gone. So we commend ourselves tonight now as we further approach you, as we take a look at your word and enter into communion service. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Don't take too much time, and you always say that, and then I take a little more than necessary. But I'm going to read out of the 10th chapter of Hebrews. I figure that's just the place to look tonight. For the law having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things. Remember, Christ was the image of God. These things were just an image, types. Can never with these sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. No way, because they have to come every year. For then they would not have ceased, for would not they have then ceased to offer? Sure. Because that the worshippers, once purged, should have no more conscience of sin. Now that's a tough one right there. But it lets you know that believe what he's really talking about here is that you know that there just isn't any more offering. And if there isn't any more offering, this is it or else. You're not going anywhere. Take it or leave it. Live, die, sink, or swim. This is it. You follow me? Please stand here. But in those sacrifices, there's a remembrance, again, of sins every year. In other words, forgiveness, where is it? Justification, where is it? Now, sanctification, that's a growth. But justification means you have been declared righteous by God. As many people often say, justification is just as though I had never sinned. See? For it's not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sin. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he said, sacrifice and offerings thou wouldst not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hadst no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written to me to do thy will, O God. In other words, hey, this isn't working. You don't like it. Let me do something about it. Above when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings for sin thou wouldst not, neither hast pleasure in them, which are offered by the law. Then he said, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. What's he doing? He's taking away every single thing that God didn't have any use for. Didn't want. And he brings in exactly what is pleasing to God, or which is in the atonement, is called the satisfaction of Christ. God is thoroughly satisfied. Now, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Christ once.
Now, it says for all, you don't need it in there. Because he's talking about that. Not every time, every time, every time. It's once, that's it. So if sin is going to be dealt with, it's already dealt with. And to take it as God gave it through Jesus Christ our Lord, there is nothing more you can do about it in the sense of that. Now, there's plenty you can do. Repent, be baptized, name the Lord Jesus Christ, receive the Holy Ghost, apply word upon word, and keep moving. Even the millennium is a further sanctification. But he's talking about taking away sin. How is sin dealt with? Now watch. Every priest in verse 11, daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, now he's a man, after he'd offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down the right hand of God. In other words, now what he did makes him the chief man in God's plethora of, of whomever, angels, archangels, everybody else. Like only begotten son, means one of a kind, no more. This day if I started my genealogy. From henceforth, expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. Now that's taking place now. It says in 1 Corinthians 15, at the presence, at the time of the dead, it starts where the Father's taking every single thing in his control and putting it under the feet of him who is now on the throne, because Brother Branham said, this one, the Lamb from on the mercy seat, climbed off the mercy seat, took the book out of the hands of him that sat upon the throne, ripped open the seals, handed the book back, climbed on his Father's throne. And he himself said, he said, I'll grant to you who overcome to sit in my throne as I am now set down in my Father's throne. So one time, Jesus was the chief messenger of God. Who's the messenger of Jesus today? God is. Right. Right. Because he's the one down here telling us. Using a prophet. For by one offering, he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Now listen, the sanctification, brother, sister, is up in verse 10. Sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus. Not some sanctification process you now go through after you're born again. This has to do with him. And we're drinking the blood and eating the body figuratively concerning this. Once and for all. And what we do tonight looks back on the once and for all. The blood of bulls and goats was day after day after day after day after day, year after year, and they died and they died and they kept it up and the ashes mounted and the bulls, the number of bulls increased and everything else. Forget it. God said, I can't stand any more of that. Why? The people use it wrong. It became a place where they ignored the word and went their own way. Idolatry, everything else, they sacrificed. Say, hey, it's okay, we sacrifice. Hey, okay, I've been to church and put my name in the book. Hey, I'm okay. People haven't changed, brother, sister. Come on, listen. Except they got worse. That's all. That's all. Same old rotten thing. Now, he says, for by one offering, he that perfects forever, them that are sanctified. Brother Branham said, like I quoted tonight, in Matthew 5:48, be ye perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Nobody but Brother Branham said this. He said if God demanded, he's got to make a way for it. And how can you call a man a sinner when the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, scatters sin until there be no evidence? And when there's no evidence, they throw it out of the court. And what are our crooked courts right in Dayton doing? They the evidence, this cop steal it or sell it, if it's dope especially. They did it. What happened to that 7 pounds of dope they had? Huh? Sealed up in somebody's safe. And the guy comes to court. Come on, Jesse, bring in the evidence. Somebody took it. Case dismissed. Crooked judge, rotten cops. All I can see, this is not a crooked judge and rotten cop. This is God working his own plan. Now listen, watch. For by one offering. Now watch the next verse. Wherefore, whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. What's he telling you? Repent, be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ,
and the Holy Ghost comes in as the witness. And also, it's also even deeper. The Holy Ghost came back in the day of Pentecost, showed who he was to the Apostle Paul, showed it right down the line. We'll talk about that too. We have talked about these things. Talk about more. And this is the covenant that I will make them with them after these days, saith the Lord. I'll put my laws in their hearts, and their minds I'll write them. Now, I believe that's partly fulfilled already, and is yet to be fulfilled. To be fulfilled is part of the millennium, and even beyond there, where the Bible, where Brother Branham said, the Lamb on the throne, the pillar of fire above the throne, and before they call, I answer. So you see a fulfilling word of God here. Now watch what he says. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more, and neither will they. But watch, 18. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Then you don't offer. What do? You believe. The offering is over. That's a mediator. Brings you in. Intercessor keeps you in. If you don't throw away your coffin, as brother, sister, you got it made. Paul warns us right in the book of Hebrews. Don't throw away your confidence. But like the old saints of old, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them, were persuaded, embraced them, and confessed. Hey, we're just waiting for that day. You know what? Before us, every single church age, they confess it. Hey, we're waiting for the day. Hey, we're waiting for the day. And there's the day. There's the day. And they, oh, I can't take that. That's why 8 souls make the ark. Right. When the days of the Son of Man repeat, they don't understand it. Throw it out. Even people believe this call, they say, believe this message. They make Brother Branham the Son of Man. They say, Brother Branham, somebody said you're the Son of Man. I thought the pillar of fire was the Son of Man. Oh, he said, you make a mistake. He said, it's neither one. What's the days of the Son of Man? Exactly what it says. Same ministry, same Holy Spirit operating through God himself here, doing the mighty works. How's he done it? Through a prophet. Remember, Jesus was a prophet. A prophet like unto me was the great key of Moses. Before it was the seed of the woman. Then came along Abraham. And it said right in there, a royal seed coming up in him, that seed, the royal seed, should all nations of the earth be blessed. Now it comes right up to Deuteronomy 18. The Lord raised up a prophet like unto me. Now you're back to Acts 3, looking back. People want to crown him King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. They can't even make him a prophet. Huh. What do you think anyway? Come on, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And it's the roles, the dominant and the subdominant. Sure. He died. He shed his blood. And the Holy Spirit's witness. Now, you know something? Let me tell you something. Not one of you sitting here tonight need to take these emblems in your faith. You don't need it. Forget it. Because your faith didn't produce anything. What I'm trying to tell you is what you saw in this man and what came down there had nothing to do with us per se. If we admit, knowing that this is the vindicated truth of Almighty God and the hour of the resurrection, and then positively, you're here. You don't have to have faith. Why? Because it's not a matter of faith anymore when you get the answer. It's knowledge. You know that you're commemorating his death. You know that the life was shed and has come back. And you know the very life itself is in our midst, the pillar of fire, God. It's a fact. You're no longer faith. Abraham and Sarah didn't have to believe for conception as soon as she got pregnant. It was over. No, they just had to believe for gestation 9 months. And then that was over. No more faith required. The next thing was what? Faith to raise him. And then he got reared up. No more faith required. You see how the word dies in each age? It's not required. You come to knowledge. We're in a place of knowledge tonight.
Now abideth faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. And listen, faith makes you to know there's a promise. Hope is earnest expectation. I'm entering into it. But why is love greater? Because it is. Love stands right there and believes. It's sure it costs something. But love stands right there and embraces it, knows it, and loves it. That's Brother Branham said. You stand in the resurrection here and you love each other. Why? Because of the Word. The corrected Word. What's the corrected Word? It's a bullet that went off a course. It was aimed in the garden. Zoom, like this here. And Adam was chunked. Oh, Lord. What a mess. Brings it back at Calvary. Starts the bullet over again. What happens? Another Jesus. Another Spirit. Another God. Boing. There it is again. God's in threes. And the last state brings it back. Now what? Nothing can change it. It's over. No way. This bride here will never mess up. This bride here knows who she is. She's children of the resurrection. And so when you commemorate tonight, you say, Lord, I know that you died. I know the atonement. And I know the life that came because I've seen it. God didn't only go down to Egypt with Moses and appear in signs and wonders. He himself visibly appeared upon Mount Sinai and pillar of fire. So today we have his picture by the camera. What more do you want? Feel better? I think a burden lifted off of me too. That's right. The brethren come forward to serve and how you do usually, and you know how to come. The ladies know where to go out there for foot washing. Everything's in order. You have two sides of the table. It facilitates, makes it much easier. So when you're finished, we'll just bow our heads and pray. Heavenly Father, once again, we want to thank you for your word, Lord, that you give us. And we are so pleased, Lord, and even with ourselves, with the fact that we are vessels that are enlightened, Lord. And this means so much to us to know we're enlightened. And we don't want to have a sort of grubby humility here which is totally irreverent in the fact we try to downgrade ourselves and thereby downgrade what you did, because we just read where we're sanctified with him. He did it. So, Father, we're not downgrading ourselves tonight. We're believing we're sanctified and part of this resurrection somehow, and we rebuke the devil and everything else that'll bug us about it. Stand right here, Lord, believing. We believe that you died. We can say we know that you did die. We know that you rose because the Spirit bore witness. God himself come down, proved the facts. And so tonight, Lord, we're people who can truly commemorate and say thank you, Jesus, for the shed blood upon Calvary, the life that came back, the suffering that you gave, not only to take sin away, but to take away the corruption of sin, which is proven by healings amongst us and one day immortality. Oh God, humble us tonight with the sweet, lovely spirit of humility in our midst, that we can accept those wonderful things you said about us. I know, Lord, Sarah couldn't do it that day, but Lord, when you discern, she said, I am a mother. She even had to lie about her thoughts, for she believed. Surely, God, tonight we can believe and do believe, and may it be as we partake. It was one offering once and for all, and we admit it. We stand in the sanctification through this all. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, amen. All right, Brother Lloyd, you can... Remember Brother Branham, the odd time he used to say after a service, now he said, doesn't that feel good, like a real scouring out? I've never been able to say that till tonight. I think that I can say with a measure of faith that we've had a good scouring out by the Word. That being the case, the weeds have been plucked up. And now all the good food that's in the husbandry of God can now be utilized to the true seed. So that's a good thought to end on. Tomorrow morning, 10 o'clock, and afterward we'll have lunch together. Shall we rise and be dismissed? Heavenly Father, again we want to thank you for your kindness to us. We appreciate your love and mercy which has been manifested in this hour to us. And we know that is true. And we trust, Father, because it is true, it will not simply be the words of our mouth, although that's necessary,
but it will be from our hearts. For a man maketh a confession with the mouth what lies in the heart. And we know that as much as we know, and knowing it even more and more and more until one day full assurance of faith comes to us like Abraham, because we're Abraham's seed, through you, we'll be able to stand right here and know in the measure that we're supposed to know, even like the prophet, who, of course, is an example set before us. Dismiss us now with thy love, mercy, and grace, Lord. Keep us, protect us. We pray for good night's rest, for real strength in the spirit, if not in the bodies, to come tomorrow with the love of God shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost through that blessed, wonderful word in there. And under no condition, Lord, to be a love that is hypocritical, but an absolute love, even as we found tonight the prophet taught us based upon the word. Unto thee we give the glory and the honor. In the holy name of Jesus Christ, our blessed, beloved Savior. Amen. Take the name of Jesus with you.